Welcome to Half Finished to Done, a podcast for passionate business owners like you who are ready to stop procrastinating and start finishing all of your half-done projects. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm looking forward to helping you finish your projects in a calm, sustainable way using a simple, repeatable process. All along the way, we'll be working through the mental, emotional, and logistical obstacles that are standing between you and extraordinary projects. Let's get into it. Welcome to the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how to audit your calendar. So this episode is going to be particularly helpful for people who already use their calendar actively in order to track what's going on with their schedule in their lives. However, if that is not you, if you're not someone who's actively calendaring, I want you to still listen in to what I recommend here, because you can go ahead and take these pieces and then use them as you do start to put things on your calendar. So I want to go ahead and give you some background on why I created this whole technique of auditing your calendar. I was finding that people would come to me wanting to join my program, Half Finished to Done Live, but one of their biggest concerns was, I don't know if I have time for it. I don't know if I have time to take on a new program when I'm already feeling overloaded and overwhelmed emotionally, mentally, and logistically with what's currently going on in my life. But what I realized was that nobody comes to me and wants to do my program if they're already getting 100% of the results that they want in their business, right? People come to me when they're not yet getting the results that they want. And if that's the case, and you have a jam-packed schedule, what it signals to us is that there are things that are on your calendar that are not producing the results that you want. So you have things that are on your calendar that are taking up your brain space, they're taking your time, they're taking your energy, your attention, your focus, but they're not actually giving you back what you want to have. So I want you to really think about the four different frameworks that I'm going to teach you as measuring the ROI. So what is the return on investment of the things that I'm putting on my calendar? And does that return get me what I actually want? Likely, there are so many things on your calendar that are just draining you. They're wasting your energy. They're things that you don't actually want to be doing. And our job is to ruthlessly get rid of those things and then replace them with the things that you actually want to be doing that are going to move you towards the results that you want. Now, warning, this is not always comfortable. Right? If this was comfortable, everyone would be doing it and people wouldn't need my help at all. It is difficult to take a stand for your values and your priorities and then make a calendar that actually represents those. That is not the norm in our society, and it does go against the grain of what most people are doing. So I just want to give you that thought, is this is not supposed to be comfortable, and that's okay. And it's 100% work worth doing. So the way we're going to do this is I'm going to teach you four frameworks. I'm going to walk you through an exercise for each of those frameworks, and you will start to see that some of the answers of what to do with your calendar become obvious, just one framework at a time. But at the end, we're going to combine all four of the frameworks. We're going to cross-reference them in a way that makes everything become even more clear. Before we do that, I want to just do a quick check-in. So I want you to ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best relationship I could possibly have, what is your current relationship to your calendar? And then things break open here is, what would a 10 out of 10 rating look like for you specifically? If you were already at a 10 out of 10 rating, what would your predominant thoughts about your calendar be? So before we dig into the four frameworks, I highly recommend taking the time to ask yourself those questions and jot down some notes so that you have a reference point for later. All right, time for the four frameworks. So I'll describe the framework and then I'll give you a specific exercise to do with that framework. So the first one that we're going to look at is the four W's. And the four W's are want to, willing to, won't, and wallow. And this is the idea that every single thing that's on your calendar or on your agenda fits into one of these four categories. First up, you've got the want to category. So these are things that you just naturally want to do. You don't have to convince yourself at all. They play to your strengths. They're interesting, engaging, fascinating, fun, whatever it is for you that you just naturally want to do. Then you've got your willing to category. So your willing to category is the things that you don't particularly want to do, but for whatever reason, you're willing to do that. I think of this like running errands for somebody that you love, or showing up at someone's house when they're sick, or taking care of your child when they've got something going on emotionally. Maybe it's going to your spouse's favorite sporting event that you don't love that sport, but you're willing to do the thing because it's important to that other person. Then we've got our won't category. Our won't category is the things that you just have decided are outdated. They no longer serve you. They're not interesting. Maybe you overcommitted. You said yes because you thought you should, because you felt guilty, right? You said yes for the wrong reasons. That is your won't category. And last but not least, the most important category to pay attention to is your wallow category. Your wallow category is anything that is not something you want to do. It's not even something you're particularly willing to do, but you haven't worked up the courage to say no to it, to put it into your won't category for whatever reason. So maybe you're nervous about disappointing yourself. You're nervous about disappointing someone else. You are afraid of being a person who doesn't follow through, right? There's a number of reasons why things would be in your wallow category, and you haven't moved them into your won't category. So you're going to do two things with this framework. The first thing you're going to do is to just look at your calendar and look at what percentage of things fall into each of the categories, right? So what percent of the things that are on your calendar are you dying to do? Are you excited to do? That's your want list. What percent of the things on your calendar truly fall into your willing to category? So be really careful with this one. Make sure that you're genuinely, deeply willing to do those things. Otherwise, it's going to be your wallow category. Then I want you to look at your calendar is what percent of the things are just easy no's, like things you could just easily get rid of and move into your won't category. And then last but not least, again, the most tricky is the wallow category. So what are things that you've been holding on to, putting space for on your calendar? Why are you wallowing about them? And what would it require for you to get rid of them? Or to sell yourself on why they're a want to or willing to. So we've kind of moved into the next step, which is making decisions. So first you're going to observe and then you're going to actually make decisions. So I want you to really look at what do I want my calendar to look like as a 10 out of 10 versus how does it look to me right now? And am I satisfied with the level of each category? So I'll give you an example. I'll have a lot of people who have very big willing to categories. So the number of things that they actually want to do is very, very low, but the number of things they're willing to do is really high. And I always question that. I'm like, why are you willing to do so many things that you don't actually want to do? What if we were to take some of your willing to things and move them into the won't category? What would that free up for you? Right? Or with your wallow category, what are the things that you're wallowing about? Who are these things mostly for? And what would it require of you to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not willing to sell myself on doing it. Or conversely, what would it take to take things out of your wallet category and be like, yeah, I am going to be willing to do this. And here's what I need to believe in order to be willing to do it. So lots of work you can do with just that one framework. Jot down your notes and let's move to the next framework, which is our high value, low value stoplight. So I want you to think about every single thing on your calendar as falling into one of the following three categories. You have red, which means it's low value. Yellow, which means it's either variable value, meaning the value of it switches depending on the context, or it's neutral value. So it doesn't really give you a return, but it's not taking anything from you. Or it can be green, which is it's high value. And I want to be super clear up front that when I say value, I don't just mean value in terms of financial return. I mean value like it adds value to your life in the form of positive emotion, giving you more time back. Maybe it is financial for you. That definitely is one element. But anything that gives you more energy, it just makes you like your life more. That is high value. So I'll give you some examples of each of the three categories. Green things are things like meditation or rest, seeing your friends and socializing, getting good quality sleep. Maybe it's getting coaching, time spent doing deep work on your most important project, maybe networking. It could be cleaning, taking a walk. And it can be things that we often deem low value, but could be genuinely rewarding for you. It could be scrolling on social media. Maybe it's watching Netflix with your partner, watching a show that you guys love. So you can do activities that we often demonize, but are truly high value for you because they make you happy and they lead you towards the life that you want. All right, the yellow category is super interesting. So your yellow category is either neutral, right? So it's not one of your highest value activities, but it doesn't take away from you. But it can also, again, be something that hits a point of diminishing returns. So one example of that is research. Research can usually be a green activity. It's high value until a certain point where you're now over-researching, which tends to come from a perfectionist mindset. Another example of this would be social media. So you get on social media, you enjoy it for the first 20 minutes, let's say, and then you find yourself just mindlessly scrolling. That becomes a yellow activity. Or it could be something like socializing. Going to a party could be really fun for you at the beginning, and then you just reach a point where you just don't want to be in there anymore, and now it is diminishing returns. Or resting is a really good example as well. You rest to a certain point, and past that point, you just start to feel lethargic. I'll give you one more example of something that was yellow for me. I was creating so much content, so much email marketing content that I was like a year ahead of myself. I had a year of backlogged content that I could send out to my email list. And I started noticing, oh, I'm creating too much content, right? I'm creating content instead of going out and meeting people. So that was something that hit the point of diminishing returns for me. There's a lot of nuance here, but it's a really good thing to pay attention to. And then lastly, we've got our red category. So that's anything that's low value. Prime examples are checking your email incessantly, constantly responding immediately on Slack or on text or on Microsoft Teams, picking up your phone for anybody who calls you. It's falling down rabbit holes that you don't actually need to go down. So over-researching, procrastinating, learning, all sorts of things that aren't actually moving you towards the results that you want. So with this high value, low value stoplight, you're going to look at your calendar again and just make a note. What is currently on my calendar that's green, what's yellow, and what's red? The next framework is called the 4-day work week. This is one of my favorite ones. And I want you to just pretend, play in the world where you have a 4-day work week every single week. And even if you think you can't do this, I want you to intellectually go there because it's going to help you find areas where you could tighten up your processes, drop what's least essential, increase your focus, and reduce perfectionism. So I'll ask you just a few guiding questions to help you figure out what you would do if you had a 4-day work week. I'll add one more piece. Imagine that you have a 4-day work week because at the end of the week, you're going on a dream vacation. Right? So it's a vacation that you would never consider missing. You're not going to like miss a trip to Hawaii in order to stay and work more. You're for sure going on this vacation. So you have to be clear about what's going to get done throughout your week. This just ups the ante a little bit and makes it more creative. So the first question is, what would be the first thing to go during your 4-day work week and why? Ask yourself that question 5 times to find 5 unique answers. The second question is, what specific processes or automations would you want or need to implement in order to save time during your 4-day work week? And then your last question is, what specific habits would you need to change in order to maximize the time that you actually do spend working? So look through your calendar and find the answers to those questions and then write those answers down. And last but not least, we're going to talk about the do, dump, delegate, delay framework, which you're going to hear me talk about a lot on the podcast because it's a really integral part of the half finished to done process. It's so simple, but so effective. I've been using this tip for 10 plus years, never get sick of it. So I want you to go through your calendar and I want you to look at what are the things that make sense to do. They're time-sensitive activities that directly align to my highest priorities. Then you'll go through and look for the dump category. So these are outdated activities. They don't align with your desired results. They no longer inspire or delight you, or you simply can't or don't want to take them on anymore. Then you're going to weed through to find the delegate category. Where are the activities that you're currently doing that you could outsource to someone else? So that could be a virtual assistant. It could be a significant other, a business partner, a staff member, a specialist of some sort. Or even your kids. So this category usually requires the most creativity, and it's often underutilized because we have the thought they can't do it as well as I can. But I want you to really challenge yourself here. And then lastly, you have the delay category. So these are the activities that you do want to do eventually. You're not ready to get rid of them, but you do recognize that taking them on right now doesn't make sense for whatever reason. So you don't have the right resources, including time, energy, mental bandwidth, team, money, whatever it is. So instead of procrastinating on these things, you're going to make the intentional decision to table them for later. For your calendar, notice and take note of the do, dump, delegate, and delay. And then we'll move on to cross-referencing all of the frameworks. So when I say cross-referencing, what I really mean is what becomes so glaringly obvious that you have to implement it immediately. So I'll give you an example. If you find something that's in your low value category, right, it's red in value, and it falls under your won't list or your wallow list, I'm like, get rid of that shit immediately, right? We've just found an easy thing to get rid of. Or you might look at your yellow category, right? Your medium variable value. And you say, okay, this activity is neutral in value. However, it's something I really want to do. That might be something you decide to keep. Maybe you find something that's in your wallow category that you could also delegate. Amazing. Now you have to find a person to outsource that to. So I will mention that when I go through this workshop live with my new clients, I promise them that they can free up 12 plus hours per month just by doing the calendar audit. And we've done it every single time. So think about that for yourself and challenge yourself to do the same thing, is at least 3 hours per week, 12 hours per month of things that you decide to get rid of, because you've now justified that they don't make sense to have on your calendar. So I'll give you some examples of that. One example is a client who was attending so many meetings, they were in her wallow category and also they were low value. She was nervous to say no to them and to push back and ask if it was possible for her to not attend, but she just decided that it was worth asking so that she could free up 12 hours per month. Or I'll have clients who really deeply identify with the label of being a perfectionist, and they go through, they realize that there's so many things that they're doing that are worth it, they're green in value, until that point of diminishing returns. And if they could just stop themselves at the point of diminishing returns before the activity becomes low value, then they would easily free up 12 hours per month. So they just have to understand the value and believe in the value of stopping themselves instead of continuing to tweak and edit and fall down the rabbit hole. One other area where this becomes really interesting is if you're doing the same repetitive tasks over and over, you could just carve out a day or a few hours to automate that, right? Turn that from something that maybe you're wallowing about that's not super high value for you to be doing constantly. It becomes something you're willing to do one time and you knock it out, and then it's just automated forever. So that can be super valuable as well. So as you review all of your answers across the four frameworks, just let everything click into place and let it become so obvious that you can't ignore it anymore. And then here's a really fun question to send you off with, is if you freed up 12 plus hours per month using these four frameworks, what would you create space for? So what are things that would be in your high value want to category that aren't even making it onto your calendar that you would love to be doing? And how can you create space to then put those things into your life and experience more joy because of them? Enjoy asking yourself that question. I hope this was super valuable. Do that calendar audit. And after you do the calendar audit, you're going to have more mental and emotional and logistical bandwidth to take on half finished to done. So when you're thinking of joining the program, for sure do the calendar audit ahead of time and it'll just set you up for success in the program. So I'll see you inside Half Finished to Done Live. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Half Finished to Done podcast. If you're ready to become a self-assured repeat project finisher, the best place to work with me is in my 8-week group coaching program, Half Finished to Done Live. You'll leave our time together with one finished project and the skills you need to finish any project, personal or business, in the future. Just head to peakcoaching.co/HFDLive for your next step. Can't wait to work with you.